Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I was told that I tend to look at the front of the sanctuary, so I was contemplating maybe I should like preach from here, so I make sure to give eye contact to all of you. Does that work for you all? Or do you sit in the back so that I won't look at you? And I thought about this one, and that's a whole lot better of a sanctuary to preach to right here, but then I thought, that's kind of rude to put my back to all of you, so I'll just try to be better at looking at all of you. Just if I'm not looking, just raise your hand and I'll make sure. Because you know what? We're in the business of always improving ourselves, right? So this morning, I want to tell you a story, okay? Christ the King Sunday, so I want to tell you about a kingdom. And in this kingdom, there was a prince, okay? And this prince was on the verge of inheriting his father's kingdom and becoming the next king. I mean, what an awesome moment for this young prince. And after many years of training and studying and apprenticing, his father and the wise elders of the kingdom deemed him ready for the role of king. But there was one problem in his mind. He was still single. And to be the king, he felt that he needed to have a partner to share the throne with, a partner by his side. He wanted to marry before he became king. Now, so for all the young, eligible women that had passed by him in the court had just not stirred his heart and soul. He just had not found the right woman to be his queen. And he really, what he wanted more than anything, was to marry for love and for friendship. So one day, he was riding through the marketplace when he was struck by the sight of a girl who sold beautiful and sturdy pottery at one of the stalls. It was her eyes that captivated him first. They were kind and they sparkled with fun. They were thoughtful as well. In fact, he found that looking into them, it was like looking into the depths of a clear, deep well. And there were some shadows and some sunlight in there. He began to observe how she treated her customers as well. It was with respect and fairness all the time, yet somehow she always seemed to strike a good bargain for her family business. She was smart as well. He saw the steadiness and the fine, detailed creativity of her work during times when customers were scarce, throwing pots at her potter's wheel and painting those that were ready for the kiln. Needless to say, the prince fell in love. How should I approach her? How do I get to know her? How do I get her to know me? The prince thought. And as the prince could simply order to her to marry him as the prince, he thought, that's not the way I want to do it. He wanted to marry for love. Now he could arrive at her door with all of his regalia and uniform and the fine horse bearing gifts and sweep her off her feet with all his wealth. But he wanted to marry her for shared values and friendship, not because he was the prince that could offer her a life of luxury. Well, perhaps he thought he could disguise himself as a daily laborer and get to know her at the marketplace. But then when they were in love and ready to marry, when he revealed his true identity, he would be using manipulation. He didn't want to do that. So after much contemplation, and with his growing love for this young woman, the prince finally made a decision. He would renounce his claim to the throne. He would move into the neighborhood in which she lived and begin to work as a carpenter. He had been trained in architecture and fine arts of carving in his studies. He loved the feel of wood in his hands. He would get to know all the people in her community, go to mass with them, make music at parties with them, help them build their houses, shop with them in the marketplace. In this way, he would hope to become the young woman's friend and someday confess his love to her. And that is exactly what he did. My friends, hear these words from the Gospel of John, the 3rd chapter, verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Our God is no different than the prince in this story. Our God is a God that has everything. Our God is a God that created and knows everything. And he created the most precious part of his creation, humankind, to be the one that he would love above all others, and with the hope that his human creation would love him back. And being the God of all power, he could have created us with no other option but to love him. He could have created us with the ability for our hearts to love and not stray whatsoever. But God wanted to gift us with free will. If we were to love God, God wanted us to love God because we chose to love God, not because we had to. God could have treated us in such a way, constantly just putting blessings upon us and protecting us from anything bad, to where we would have no choice but to love God because of how deeply God cared for us, how much God protected us, how God was the one that just lavished us with all the riches of the world. But God didn't want us to love God because of the riches of this world. And God could have manipulated us. God could have tricked us. God could have fooled us. God could have laid the path so that even though it was our choosing, it was the path that God sent us down to love him. But that's not what God wanted. God is such a mighty God, and God loves us so much that God stepped down out of heaven and was born in human form in a humble manger so that he could live and die for us, to grant us the greatest gift we would ever receive. That's the season that's upon us, isn't it? That's the message we hear each year. I mean, today we close 1 year of the Christian year, and next week we begin the next, and we start thinking about what Christmas is. But before we take Jesus back to a baby, we look at Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the King of Kings, and try to figure out, what does that mean for us? And I look at us, and I see who we are. In so many ways, we're strong and secure. So many ways, we have it all together. But then, so for so many of us inside, there's insecurities and uncertainties, where there's this desire to be loved and affirmed. We see it through school. We look to have affirmations through grades and awards. Oh my goodness, don't tell him I said so, but Aiden is so frustrated because he hasn't gotten an award at school this year yet. Oh, he blames the principal and he blames this teacher and that teacher, but I hear him and I want to think, oh my gosh, this boy just wants an award, but I realize here's this boy that just wants to be affirmed that he's a good kid, wants to be affirmed that his hard work is worth something. Isn't that at the heart of each of us? I mean, I remember going through school, and I was on math team, and I loved doing math team. But what I loved most was when math team won. Why? Because all that hard work paid off. We worked together as a team, and here we went to district competition. And when we got called for a prize, oh, the joy of that moment. Oh, getting to realize that we were something, that we had achieved the goal that we had set out for. We see it in academics. We see it in sports. We see it in all sorts of competitions. We see it in artists. We see it in every field that we're in. We want to be affirmed. We want to be told we fit in. We want to be told that our work matters, that it means something. And here's God. And what is God? God is our biggest cheerleader, right? God is the one every day saying, I am so proud of you. I am so proud of what you do and what you have accomplished. I'm so proud of all of the small victories you have. God says, those are the gifts I gave you. That's who I created you to be, and look at you and what you're doing with it. And what does God want in return? God wants us to see him. God wants us to see who God is, to see what God's done for us. And just like we want it, God desires for us to affirm it back. God would love for us, as we wave our flags for our teams and our schools and celebrate their victories. You know, 8 o'clock service, if you don't know, you always know when Nebraska football is won, because the red Nebraska football shirts are out at 8 o'clock service. And I walk in, I say, hey, Nebraska won. They say, yes, Nebraska won. I love our Cornhusker fans. But God wants that to be God. Look at what God did. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be amazing? But there's something inside of us that hesitates. There's something inside of us that questions. There's something inside of us that isn't quite sure. God desires to reassure us. God desires to affirm where God is in our lives. And we go back to where those kids are, of needing to plug in. We plug into so many things in this world, and I don't know about you, but schedules get full. They get full with work and commitments, and before you know it, the week's over, and you wonder where it's gone. I'm one of those people, if you need me to call you, or you need me to meet with you, or I got to do something, it has to go on my calendar on my phone. If it's reliant on my brain to remember, it's not going to happen, because my brain, it goes in and it goes out, because so much goes into it, it's so overwhelmed. And so somebody says, hey, can you give me a call on Tuesday? I say, okay, let me put you in my calendar. And I put it in my calendar, and then what do? I set an alert. So that an hour before I'm supposed to call the person, my phone says, ding, you need to call Betty Sue in an hour. Whew. Thank you, phone, for reminding me. And then at the time of it, my phone goes, ding, it's time for you to call Betty Sue. And I go, oh yeah, I had forgotten in the last hour, I got to call Betty Sue, right? But here my phone tells me constantly what I need to be doing. And I think God's sitting up there and saying, where am I in that calendar? Where's that space that you've etched out for me? Where's that ding, time to talk to God? Where's that ding, get into the scriptures that's not work related? Where's that ding, go take a walk in my creation and appreciate what I've made for you? Where's that ding, spend some time with other Christians that lift you up and support you and help you in this journey? Where's that ding? Stop talking, Stacy, and just listen to my voice. Where's that ding? Time to plug in to God. I think that's what we really need to be thinking about as we get ready for this Advent season, in the midst of the decorating and the shopping and all of the to-dos that happen. there's a really busy church calendar coming. But in the midst of all that busyness, in the midst of all those to-dos, where's that intentional time to plug into God? Where's that intentional time to be with our Creator? That intentional time for God to feed us? That intentional time for God to be the one to calm us when we're stressed or anxious? That time when things are going well that we say, I am so excited about this. Hold on. I got to go celebrate with God for a minute because this is a blessing from God. When's that time that we're intentionally building that relationship? Because God's done everything for us. We talk about meeting halfway, right? We meet halfway. And God said, I came all the way to this earth for you. Now you come to me. Make the time. Be with me. And let's live this life together. Because Christ the King reminds us, what is a king? A king is somebody with power. A king is somebody with responsibility. A king is somebody that oversees the whole kingdom and ensures how it's run. And God says the ultimate king is Jesus. And that kingdom isn't just one that's in heaven and yet to come, but he says the kingdom of God is right here and Jesus is ruling over it. And how is it that we are going to yield control and let Jesus be our king? Let Jesus be our Lord, to where we can sit in the passenger seat and let him drive and see where he takes us. Because what we're going to find, like our closing song says, we're going to find victory in Jesus. We're going to find victory in the one who gave up everything so that we could gain everything. Friends, as we enter this Advent season, let's ensure that we keep Jesus at the center of it, that we keep the reason for the season at the heart, with the intentional time that we take in that relationship and expressing our love to God and allowing God to love on us. My friends, will you pray with me? Gracious God, I look out and I see your beautiful creation. I see your sons and daughters that you've knit together by hand, your homemade creations that you have looked upon and said, that is a wonderful one that I have made, and I pour out my blessings upon it. May each who is here feel your blessings upon them. Feel your presence with them. Feel that you are not a God who is far away watching his creation under glass, but that you are a God that is in and amongst your creation. What a blessing that is. We just ask that by your presence, by your Holy Spirit, that you will help us to find those times when we need to pause, those times when we need to shut out the world and make time just for you, to make time where we are plugged into you in such a way that we are uplifted, that we are strengthened, that we are soaking up your love, but that we are also giving our love to you, that we are affirming you as much as you affirm us, that we in our hearts are declaring that you are the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, and that you oversee our lives, and that through love that we put our trust fully in you. May we find a blessing in that relationship. May we find guidance in you. And may we find this season that is upon us to be even more blessed because of putting you at the center of it. For all of this, Lord, we pray in your most mighty name. Amen.